Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Adnan Virk. You probably remember him from ESPN. He got fired.
Yeah. Who could have ever imagined that somebody would get fired from ESPN?
Yep, but he's a really great guy and a friend of ours, and we had an awesome talk with him about what he's doing now, his firing from ESPN, and a little baseball talk for you. We also have Hot Seat Cool Throne, the Mount Rushmore of the most average things.
I'm very excited about this.
I'm
kind of excited about it.
Whatever.
It's going to be okay.
Take it or leave it. Bachelorette talk for guys that don't watch The Bachelorette, even though Hank watches The Bachelorette. And that was a yes. And guys,
I watch
on
bits
chicks.
And pieces.
Bits and pieces. Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and fight week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy won, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Put in the code Barstool. You get $5 for free and $5 to ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, July 24th, and training camps have started, so the random injuries have popped up.
Yeah, who's the first one on the list this year?
I don't know. It's always such a bummer.
You
know,
Jules.
Like, this is the one time, but he's fine. Like, I'm talking ACLs. No, it's always such a bummer.
Jules is working on thumb gate right now. He's got a brace underneath his glove. So we're going back to Tom Brady, his old cut that he had, like where you've got reporters trying to like zoom in on his thumb, see exactly what's wrong with it.
There Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett, but
not the other Michael Bennett either.
Not the guy that's running for president, right. And not the guy that doesn't wear shoulder pads.
Correct.
Another one for the Falcons. Hurt his ankle.
It is such a bummer, though, when you are just scrolling Twitter and training camps have started, you're getting juiced up for football, and then boom. Like Ian Rapoport says, yeah, this guy's out for the year with a torn ACL.
We're about due, I'd say, like in the next 36 to 48 hours for Jake Butt torn ACL.
Ooh,
I hope not.
Don't wish that
on him. No, I'm not wishing on him. I trust me, the NFL is a much better place when there's a guy named Butt on the back of his jersey.
True.
Running around making plays.
But yeah, this is the time of year where you get excited for your team to report to training camp. We get all the training camp stories. We'll probably go through them next week when all the camps have reported. But there's nothing like those first few pictures of the team out there in their jerseys, and rookies are out there right now, and it feels good, and then boom, an injury.
One of my favorite parts is when the reporters get to camp for the first time, and they get really excited and tweet out the new things that are different in the like press areas that change over the course of last year. They got new chairs.
They're just excited to be away from their family.
Exactly.
Finally, and then it will take, you know, probably a month or two of tweeting empty stadium pictures before games on Sunday to be like, haven't seen my family in months.
Yeah, this also means it is the official start of QB tier system.
Oh, yeah.
So the QB tiers rankings are just starting to come out right now. We've got the Pantheons, we've got the Diamonds,
the Elites,
whatever tier system you use.
Yeah.
Now's the time to really get it cranked out. I did some studies on this, and I believe that the tier system should be more like an hourglass, not like a pyramid, because it seems like there are five or six that are at the top, And then there's like very few that are just perfectly average. And then there are a lot of shitty ones down at the bottom.
Well, it's, I mean, I always go with my binary system where it's guys that can win you a Super Bowl and everyone else sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then just some people suck a little bit less. There's the really good sucky quarterback.
Matt Stafford
is a perfect. He is an elite sucky quarterback.
He's great.
But you're like, if you had to ask yourself, could Matt Stafford win a Super Bowl? Answer's probably no.
And there are a lot of teams that they say, like, we've got our guy at quarterback, but in a heartbeat they should trade him for somebody.
Yeah,
they should
right.
keep this going.
Matt Stafford, by the way, still a Hall of Famer.
Definitely.
I think he could win a Super Bowl, too.
You do?
Now he's got
not
good,
on the Lions. The
well, that's
is,
the problem, the well, Lions. But now he's got Patricia, good coach.
When he signed the new contract with the Lions, that was kind of it. Where he's like, okay, I'm going to be on the Lions. And
but Matt Stafford in a vacuum
yeah.
could win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe. He's right on the edge of suck. That's yeah. why he's an elite, sucky quarterback, because it's like, if you put him in the right spot, everything could go perfectly. Yeah, I could see yeah, you know what, Hank? Matt Stafford could win a Super Bowl.
I mean, they won a playoff game with
they
him,
did.
Right?
Yeah.
There you go. So I think he's a very good example. Did they?
They lost
no,
the
they
Saints.
Lost to the Saints.
They
that's
lost
the game
the
I was
Cowboys
thinking of.
When they got screwed.
Yeah, they should have won that one.
The Seahawks.
Notice Skip Bayless doesn't keep harping about their loss to the Cowboys.
I don't know if they have one.
No, they I don't think that they have, but they should have beaten the Saints that one time. That was a great game.
Yeah. Tony Scheffler,
1991.
1991 is their last
91.
Win.
Yikes. Sorry. There
that was this was a we took a detour on some Lions
yikes.
Bashing, and I don't like the Lions, but I didn't mean to do this so meanly.
Lions, Bills, Browns, Dolphins.
Those are the longest droughts.
Yeah.
27, 23, 21, and 18.
Well, the good news is the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Destined. 100%.
Hammer the Browns this year.
Yeah. So everyone's got, we got the tier system. We have the, they're ranking the top 100 players,
mm-hmm.
which
people get mad about every year.
Also, that list is way too long.
100 is way too many for anything.
I mean,
there should be no list that lasts 100 places.
When they announce like 94. Is Mitchell Schwartz. I'm like, yeah, Mitchell Schwartz is good, but I didn't have to know that he was the 94th best player in the NFL.
Oh, I did. I did. Because every time, you know what? I'll take that back. I don't really like the top 100 listing, but I do like the countdowns that they do where they show like how many days until the season starts using the numbers on the shirts.
Yes.
So like when there was 45 days, I was like James Devlin or 46 or whatever
different
it was.
Different players.
Like
yeah.
I like that because they got to really scrape and claw for some of those like low 50s.
Yeah. So we can feel it. We can taste it. We can smell it.
I can hear it. You can hear it before you see
I'm
it.
I'm starting to dream in football.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream last night. I was dreaming just about a college football Saturday where I was losing everything. But it was a great dream.
Yeah.
I would love to. I woke up and I was like, damn, that wasn't real, even though I lost all my money.
You know how, like, when you watch a
like
dog
you
dream?
You woke up ready to get back after today to get back to even?
Right. I was like, oh, it's Sunday. I'm ready to go. Let's get it. By the way, did you guys see that every single over hit last night? I didn't bet any of them.
I did not see
baseball,
that. No.
After the over weekend that I had because of the heat.
The salami hit? The grand salami?
No. I bet the salami and the Nationals game got rained out, so the salami got void.
Oh, that's too bad.
And every single game went over. You got to be fucking kidding me,
that's
man.
That's too bad. Yeah.
You got to be kidding. This is what July is. It's baseball taking your will to live. Like, you bet baseball, and you think you'll do okay, and it just sucks the soul out of your body.
It's awful that they just canceled the entire salami because there
that's
was a rainout.
Works.
That's
it's,
too bad.
It's worked in my favor before, but last night, every single game went over.
I don't like it. But yeah, dreaming about betting is knowing that like you're ready to get back
ready
in the
to
action.
Go.
That's training camp for us fans.
Right.
It's like dreaming about changing the channel at that perfect time.
Dreaming about sitting
to get
on my couch.
Right back to that first snap on Fox, getting yes. away from CBS.
That's the most. That's
dreaming
the,
about the slide in.
Yeah.
I did a slide in on Leroy on the couch the other day just for fun.
Just to make sure that you were in mid-season form.
He didn't know what was going on. He just farted and went back to sleep.
Sleeping on
basically,
my couch.
That's what Al Michaels does these days anyways.
Yeah, sleeping on my couch, dreaming about sleeping on my couch with football on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what July is.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do Hot Seat Cool Throne and get to a very, very good Mount Rushmore?
We think.
Eh. It's actually, yeah, I just did that again. Hank, why don't you start Hot Seat Cool Throne?
Okay. My hot seat is Millennials.
Ooh.
I'm sure you guys
Do
saw
tell.
This. Pat Fitzgerald did. This is like a thing that's just going to be a reoccurring thing for the next a million years.
Yeah.
It's just coaches being like, it's crazy that these kids are on their phone. He was at a press conference and he asked like why the attendance was down. And his excuse was that he was at a dinner and next to him was four people and they were all looking at their phones.
Uh-huh.
So that's why Northwestern isn't getting ticket sales.
Correct. They weren't at a football game.
Yes.
They were out to eat dinner.
Yeah. We don't have years of data to back up that people don't go to Northwestern football games.
Is dinner ruining college football attendance?
Ooh.
Like all those people in the restaurant, they could have been at a game too. But it was funny. He was, he said that he wanted to go up to them and just take away their phones. Like he was their parents and be like, hey, talk to each other. It's a big football
guy. I love that. Yeah, that's so psycho football guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so but now that like Pat Fitzgerald is that far into it, millennials, it's going to happen to every major sport, every coach, like at the college level, is going to go on one of these rants.
Well,
it's going to go viral. People are going to be like, oh, this is so true.
But
and do nothing about it.
I actually think I think Pat Fitzgerald is smart with how he's doing it because that's Northwestern football. Like they're never going to get the top athletes, so he doesn't have to recruit to like be a player's coach in that respect. You know what I mean? Dabo couldn't do this because those guys can go anywhere, and it's like, are you going to say we can't be on our phones?
Yeah, the LSU locker room has outlets to plug into the nap stations so that you can charge your phone.
So it's a sneaky smart move by Pat Fitzgerald. It's basically setting the standard is the standard, and the standard is you can't use your phone.
Yeah, he just wants a bunch of kids that don't have data plans to come to Northwestern.
By the way, while you say millennials, I watched the first episode of Euphoria last night.
Oof.
I don't want to be a father anymore.
Yeah,
sure. Okay. Can you opt out at this point?
Dude, have you watched it?
No. I was watching Big Little Lies.
It's intense.
It's fucking intense.
I heard there's a lot of dicks.
It gets a lot better, but the first episode I was like, oh, I heard the music was great, and then it's like the beginning is just like fetuses, and then it's
drugs,
extremely heavy
sex.
To start, but it gets good.
I've heard that
it's confusing.
When they go through the girl's phone, it's like Jen Sturger's phone. It's like just
everything, dude.
Well,
they
go through the dude's phone, and it's Jen Sturgis' phone.
Okay.
That's where things get complicated.
It's bad.
Okay.
Okay. So
So I won't be watching Euphoria.
Yeah.
Then.
It's pretty good though. It's very well shot.
It is good. No, I liked it, but I just the whole time I was like, is this what is like teenagers are doing?
Let's just start a commune where there's no electricity, and we'll just raise our kids there.
Call it Northwestern football.
No electricity, no vaccines.
Yeah,
perfect
that's good
for you.
For me, yeah.
Oh, and then my cool throne is Grand Theft Auto.
Ooh.
So much like the rest of the world, they have adapted to the gambling world. And in the new Grand Theft Auto, there is a casino that you can go to and you can pay real money to gamble in this Grand Theft Auto casino.
I'm in.
Wait, so you
say no more.
It's actually real.
Say no more.
Yes, today marks the grand opening of the Diamond Casino and Resort, a sprawling entertainment and luxury living complex conveniently located in Vinewood and open to all citizens of Southern San Andreas.
I'm in.
I love it. I love it. And I like how there are going to be people that get upset about this, despite the fact that Grand Theft Auto is just a game where you can literally walk down the street and blow people up with a bazooka.
I'm in. I'm fully in.
Gambling is a bridge too far.
This game
sounds
awesome.
There's going to be like articles and shit about kids that paid too much money gambling.
Right.
In Grand Theft Auto
land. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm in. I love this game. I'm going to get this game.
Yeah. Cool throne.
Yeah. PFT.
There should just be a casino video game. That's what's next up, right?
Yeah. I mean, most sports books, I mean, I used to play back in the day on like sportsbook.ag. They had an animated horse racing game. Always lost.
Such a sucker.
But it was fun.
Right, yeah.
It was fun.
My other cool throne was NASA. I watched First Man last night and it was fucking
I did
awesome.
Too.
Really?
I thought it was kind of boring.
Really?
Yeah.
I
watched
it
on Sunday.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling does a thing that he does every like third movie where he just doesn't talk for most of it.
Yeah.
He did that in Drive and it's like, it's mostly silence. And
it
he's
was
up in space getting lost.
Also, Buzz Aldrin has to be upset about that movie.
Yes.
He looked like a fucking idiot. And really, it made me realize, like, the only reason you're cool is your name is Buzz and you went to the moon. Because everything else was just Neil Armstrong's doing.
Well, he also pissed himself on the moon.
But you got
to
watch.
He was the first man to pee himself on the moon. So technically, he was the first dude on the moon.
That's true. But he was not a very intelligent character.
Mm-mm.
He was the guy from.
And he's kind of an asshole when he's like, everyone else is thinking it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like the dude
right.
just died.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, at the house thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Buzz Aldrin, Spin Zone, he's famous for now punching that guy in the face.
True.
That said the moon landing was fake.
True.
My,
which is a totally normal thing to do.
Yep. My hot seat is Tom Brady.
Ooh.
So whoa. Tom Brady is firmly on the hot seat as training camp's about to get underway for the Patriots. He went cliff diving. Hank, you'll appreciate this. He jumped off a cliff into a body of water.
Probably was hungover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Problem.
Brilliant.
Strawberry.
Problem was he held his daughter's hand and she didn't want to jump off, so he just kind of like dragged her off.
Mm.
And so people are very mad about child endangerment.
Yep.
Like, make up your mind, people. Do you want Tom Brady dragging his kids off cliffs or kissing him open mouth?
Yep.
Like one or the other. It can
it's
never
true.
Be enough for somebody, you know?
I was saying before the show that It would be the ultimate troll move by Roger Goodell to suspend Tom Brady for one game after Tyreek Hill gets zero and just be like, hey, there's videotape.
Yeah. That's all. That's all they need. Technically, like,
he wouldn't be right, but it would be fucking funny.
He was in a free drop. It was very similar to an elevator in that way.
I feel like this was such an overblown story. Like
the Today Show was talking.
It was so stupid. Like child endangerment. His daughter should have jumped. They said they counted to three. Like, that's on her.
I actually say it's more child endangerment because Tom Brady raised a child that was too afraid to jump.
That's true. That's true. Don't raise any cowards.
He who hesitates is lost. My other hot seat is the Arctic. So the Arctic is on the hot seat because
PLFT.
There are forest fires in the Arctic Circle.
Oh,
going
nice.
Right now. And this
what?
Is, yes. Wow. I love how they describe them. So there are forest fires in Alaska and in Siberia. And the way that it's described online in the article that I read, I think it was on The Independent, it says, the ongoing Arctic fires have been most severe in Alaska and Siberia. Some have been large enough to cover almost 100,000 football fields or the whole of Lanzarote. In Alberta, Canada, one fire is estimated to be bigger than 300,000 football fields.
Damn.
So I like how
those
they just
sound good.
The way they describe it, though, just using football fields as an analogy, that really makes it hit home for us dumb Americans. Okay, now I get it.
Yeah, I'm starting.
That's
to
big.
I'm starting to think we're kind of fucked.
We might be kind of fucked.
When we went 100 degrees in New York City on Saturday and Sunday, and then Brooklyn was literally flooded on Monday.
And I was driving home on
cool.
Sunday night, and the skies were like bright with
that
lightning.
Was cool.
Like it wasn't like one flash of lightning. It was like so much lightning that it was just bright out.
I just love it.
Now, what about what does this mean for bear weather? This
bear
could
weather?
This could really affect
the hot
bear
seat.
Weather
yeah, yeah,
on the
yeah.
hot
no,
seat
it
for
is.
Sure.
It's
like
true.
30 years from now, wearing no sleeves at a Chicago Bears
well,
game isn't going to be that big of an accomplishment.
Hold on, but 30 years from now, we'll probably have like a 26-week NFL schedule, so we'll play all the way into February.
That's true.
So we'll
so
be good.
Like in a foot of snow.
Yeah, right.
Okay, just keep pushing it back. I like that. My cool throne is everyone on Long Island's face because it's going to get rocked off on Saturday. If you're in Long Island or inside Long Island, whatever we're calling it now, Pup Punk is playing a show.
In Long Island.
Pup Punk is playing a show at Mulcahy's on Saturday night.
By the beach.
The 27th. I don't know if it's by the beach. I think it's like underneath a subway station.
Yeah, you thought it was by the beach.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Long Island, but I do know it's at Mulcahy's, and tickets are very affordable, and there's still some available. And we've got a new song coming out tomorrow.
Nice.
So stay tuned for
today.
That. Today. Yes, it's the song of the summer. And you will love it. That's a promise from me to you. So I will see you.
Guarantee?
In Long Island on Sunday.
Guarantee.
That's a PFT guarantee.
On
Saturday.
On Saturday. What did I say?
You
Sunday?
You nailed it. Yeah.
See you on Saturday and on Sunday because we'll probably play past midnight.
Oh,
boom.
Badasses.
Checkmate. My other cool throne is unpopular opinions. They are on my cool throne because people are getting really into expressing unpopular opinions on Twitter. But the thing is, they're not very unpopular. So I did a little unpopular opinion search on Twitter. And here's some of the unpopular opinions that people say. Okay, ready for this? Unpopular opinion. All politicians are corrupt and meant to divide us.
That's very popular.
That's an unpopular opinion. Unpopular opinion. Pineapple doesn't go on pizza. I think a lot of people agree with that as well. Unpopular opinion. You shouldn't date your friend's exes. Pretty it's, popular
people are really going
opinion.
On a limb
so,
here.
But if you put unpopular opinion before anything you say, it gets more traction. That's a little life hack for you.
Okay. I like that. By the way, did you see that Boris Johnson guy? He's basically Rob Ford. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. He's
hilarious.
I was saying,
I don't know his politics, but he's hilarious in terms of like just will bulldoze over a little kid while they're playing football.
The photo ops he gets himself into as a politician are just like out of this world.
Yeah.
I can't believe that his team, like he was in one, like a crane lifted him up and he was wearing like a Union Jack suspender outfit.
I thought it was like a new Ricky Gervais show. When I saw some of his gifts,
right,
I couldn't believe it.
He looks like if Ricky Gervais dressed up like Donald Trump and fell into an ocean, they didn't towel him off good enough.
Yeah, he's just running around, running over kids, tackling people, falling over. The Rob Ford legacy is still alive.
I would actually, I want to take that back. He's more like a mix between Trump visually and Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
That's kind of the vibe that he puts out.
Yeah, and maybe a little touch sprinkle Mark Davis.
Mark Davis as well. Also, his name's Boris, which is just, that's it. Always throws you off as,
always
as a British
throws
guy.
You off. You're just like, this guy's from Russia.
Yeah.
Okay. My hot seat is Twitter, again, because it fucking sucks. The update is the worst. I don't know why they keep doing it. Why do they keep doing it?
Just to fuck with you.
And you know what the worst part is?
To make you talk about it.
Jack threw the people under the bus. Did you see that big article that was like, here are the three women that are behind the big Twitter update? And they just got roasted on Twitter.
Nice.
You can't do that. You can't give us names of the people who made the Twitter update.
Here are the three badass women that did the Twitter update. Yeah.
Do they have one person in any of these companies? Like, I will work for any of these companies for $5 million a year. This is an open offer to just be the regular dude who you show it right before you launch it, and I can say, that's stupid.
Well, the thing is, companies like this, they have so many employees that they have to come up with projects for them to do.
Right.
If they don't have a project, they're just maintaining the existing website, and then it's like you have to fire everybody because they're not doing anything new.
Right, just keep it running.
Yeah, just keep it running. Just like change the font every now and again. How about that?
That's fine.
Yeah, give us different fonts.
Go back to stars instead of hearts.
Uh-huh.
Every now and then.
Allow porn. Have a section of Twitter just for porn.
That works too. My cool throne is police officers, NYPD police officers, because people are throwing water on them.
To cool them off.
To cool them
in
off.
In the summertime.
Because it's so hot. Although I think they're doing it maliciously.
Yes.
Like marathon runner type?
Them? I don't know. They're just throwing water on them. It's malicious. It's like they shouldn't be doing it, but the effect is that they're getting cooled off. So they're literally on the cool throne.
I like that.
Yeah.
What about what's the deal with the fire hydrants? What's the law in New York? Can you just open up a fire hydrant at any time?
I drove by four dudes who were sitting in lawn chairs with an open fire hydrant. It looked like the most fun thing ever.
Yeah, it's like the moose that was sitting on the sprinkler in Canada.
Yeah, they're just sitting there. By the water.
I want to know what the rules for that are. Like, is that something that just citizens can do?
Yeah.
Or is that, do you have to have like somebody from the public works department in a yellow vest come by and do it?
I think it's pretty illegal, but also very cool.
Also very cool. It's cooler than it is illegal.
Yes.
So go ahead.
All right. We ready to do it? Let's do it. We have our Mount Rushmore of the most average things in the world.
This is going to be good.
Is it?
No. I don't know. It'll be all right.
Who is going first?
I think I go first this time, right? Me first, then Hank.
Hank is a little nervous. He said, I don't really understand it.
I'm never nervous. Because at the end of the day, it's not about competition. It's just about fun.
That's true. We're here to lift each other up. Kings support kings.
Are you ready?
Let's do it. My first average thing, I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins.
Yikes. Oh.
Kirk Cousins, probably the most average quarterback that these two eyes have ever seen. He will beat every team that is less than 8-8, and he will lose to every team that is better than 8-8. He's one of those quarterbacks where if you see he's going to be on primetime, you're like, okay, I'm decently excited to watch this game, but you never expect him to do anything great, and guess what? He never does.
Can I debate it?
Okay.
I think his contract makes him not average anymore. He got so much fucking money.
I think it makes him more average.
No, I think that makes him not average.
Because it highlights just how average he is.
You think that Kirk Cousins is more average than Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton is exceedingly average.
I think that Andy Dalton was at Kirk Cousins' level like 2-3 years ago, but some of that average shine has been rubbed off on him a little bit.
What do you mean?
He's lost a little bit of the luster of being average.
I think I would say Andy Dalton might be more average than Kirk Cousins. And I think Kirk Cousins' contract makes it, and the whole like, you know, betting on himself and then having it work. That's an average guy doesn't do that.
No, I think he's very, very average. Okay. And also he's still got the haircut. The doofus haircut makes him more average. Andy Dalton, when he got rid of the doofus haircut and got the glow up, became less average.
That's an average guy move to try to glow up.
No.
Not really successfully do it because you're a ginger.
No.
All right, Hank, go ahead. Yeah?
Pudding.
Pudding. Okay. I'm here for that.
Any kind of pudding?
Tafioca.
Vanilla pudding.
Okay. Okay. Right. Good job. Okay. Good job.
Nice,
good job, Hank. All right. My first pick will be, I'm going to go with a ham sandwich. Ham sandwich.
Okay.
I feel like you don't really get a ham sandwich. You know, if you get like an Italian, you got to spice it up with the pepperoni and all the other stuff. Turkey usually is the go-to. Ham sandwich is like, I don't know. You just have it. It's okay.
Now,
it's not great. No one gets excited for it.
You can kind of dress up ham a little bit sometimes when there's like a honey glaze.
A baked ham is different, but a ham sandwich
ham.
Is a ham.
I had turkey sandwich on my list. I would say turkey is more average than ham.
No, people like you can get a turkey sandwich that's really good.
But you don't eat the turkey and you're like, oh, this is great turkey.
But you can
have great ham.
Totally average. Turkey is the fucking central point to a whole holiday. Okay, my second pick, it is.
Oh, I love a deep fried turkey.
All right, my second pick is going to be owning a Toyota Camry.
Fuck, are you serious?
You guys had that too?
No,
I had Toyota Camrys, yes, just in general.
I had Toyota Corollas.
Corolla's the step down.
Yeah, but it's more
Camry's
average.
The average. No, Avalon is the elite. That's the fucking, nope, you know, the nicest car you can own in the world.
Not true.
Corolla's your starter car. Camry is the, like, I'm making 65 a year. Maybe I got one kid or a dog. I'm feeling okay. I got my Camry.
But you get that feeling sometimes when you get in the back of a Camry that you can stretch your legs out. In a Corolla,
no,
it's always
average.
Like a little cramp.
Hank and I agree. Camry's the average.
The fact that it was two versus one,
yes,
kind of settles here, that to
who
be.
Here used to sell used cars? If I saw a fucking baller.
Hank and I both had Camry. That's so average.
I see a fucking baller step onto my lot. I'm putting you on a
Camry. You're still
a
mad
Camry
about the Kirk Cousins
immediately.
Thing. The Camry
no,
is the
I'm
right
not.
Choice.
I'm talking
go ahead,
about
Hank.
Corolla specifically.
Wednesdays.
Oh, good pick, okay. Hank.
The most average day, you know.
It really is.
Mondays suck, two-man, Tuesdays, yep, and then Thursday and Friday are basically the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Wednesdays are just like, can't be too good, can't
good
be too
pick.
Bad. Mm-hmm. Just got to get through it.
Yep, you can't go out on a Wednesday.
Nope.
It ruins the rest of your week if you try.
You feel okay. But then you're like, yeah.
You're not excited for the weekend yet because you still have two more days.
Right.
And then like Thursday, you're like, all right.
It's not even football.
Yeah.
Wednesday is like waiver wire day. That's it. That's all Wednesday is good for.
Mm-hmm. Good pick, Hank.
Thank
good
you.
Pick, Hank. I like that. So I guess I can't do Toyota Corolla now.
Nope.
I'm going to go.
It's a starter vehicle.
I'm going to go with U2, the band U2.
Okay.
It's perfectly average. They got some songs that I'll listen to that I won't change the channel on.
Okay.
That I won't object to. And then they've got a lot of songs that I'm like, what the hell is this? How many more songs can I hear Bono scream about like a polar bear drowning?
Okay.
So, U2 is like the perfect band. Plus, they're the ultimate.
The perfect band.
The ultimate dad band.
Are they the perfect band
they're the perfectly
band?
Average
band.
They've
got a lot of hits, though, right?
They've got a lot of hits. They've got a lot of clunkers, and even some of their hits aren't that good.
I feel like Apple wouldn't, like, put music on your phone if
oh, yes, they would.
Saying the things
band.
That I'm thinking, Hank, yeah, but I'm not going to say them.
Hank, yes, they would, because they know that they're not going to offend anybody by preloading.
But they offended everyone.
Yeah, everyone was pissed.
Yeah, because they're like, I didn't ask for this.
All right, what's your next pick?
All right, my next one, I'm going to go with the Winter Olympics.
Okay.
The Winter Olympics are all right. You've got a couple decent events, I guess. You've got hockey.
Okay.
That's kind of nice.
Okay.
Ski jump can be cool to watch for a night.
The problem.
Curling's awesome.
Actually, I don't.
No, go ahead, Hank. You got to finish your statement. What are you going to say?
When there's only two Olympics.
Correct.
It's tough to be average
right.
When there's only two.
There's either a good or a bad
one.
No,
just specifically, like the Olympics, the Winter Olympics in general, it's like.
I
kind of
like them.
I kind of like them. Exactly.
It's nice. It's a special treat.
Do you like the Summer Olympics or the Winter Olympics more?
Summer, obviously.
If it was every year, I would say, yeah, that's pretty average.
So Summer Olympics are great.
Summer Olympics are good.
Average?
Winter Olympics are average. When Bob Costas shows up with a pink eye that's looking like he's been going.
Dude, what about figure skating? You forgot about figure skating.
Looks like he's been going Christian Yelich on somebody's ass. Then I'm fine with that. But no, Winter Olympics are just, they're a very average, it's an average event.
But it's only every 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
It averages every 4 years. You're correct.
All right, Hank.
I'm running out of them, but
I have a shitload.
I'll go with long sleeve shirts.
Okay. Okay.
Something you only want to put on like.
That's not bad.
It's not something you go out of your way to put on, but it's like, all right, I don't want to be too. Hot. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be too cold, but it's not like it's not a deciding factor. There's no specific long sleeve shirt weather.
The only thing I threw on mine is hoodless sweatshirt. You think that long sleeve? Embrace the bait. More average. Hoodless sweatshirt. Long sleeve shirt.
Long sleeve shirt.
Hoodless sweatshirt.
Okay.
Because it
hoodless sweatshirts are harder to come by.
Hoodless sweatshirts, like, it feels like there should be a hood there.
It's true. I love hoodless sweatshirts. All right, so
it's a tweener outfit. Yeah.
All right, my next pick is going to be. And this, I thought about, okay, who is the most average college football team of all time? And when I looked it up, I had one team that popped in my head, and I looked up the numbers, and it confirmed it to the max. North Carolina State football.
Okay.
I looked it up. They are 5-10 overall for their entire history. 510 winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
They have 23 of the last 40 years they've gone to a bowl game. All the bowl games are like the exact same, not good, not great. Like the Gator Bowl, the Sun Bowl, the Independence Bowl, the Meineke Car Bowl. Like, okay, you had a good year. They had 1 year where they won 11 games in the last 40 years. They haven't won more than 10 otherwise. Every year is basically 7, 8, 9. And then take out, obviously, Phil Rivers is the exception to the rule, but there are two other quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Jacoby Brissett and Mike Glennon.
Russell Wilson. Average.
He's a Wisconsin Russell guy. Russell Wilson. And I feel like every like 4 or 5 years, NC State beats Clemson or Florida State on like a Thursday night.
So I was going to use the quarterback as a position to dispute the averageness of NC State because of Russell Wilson.
Well, he's a Wisconsin
because
guy.
Of Phillip Rivers, Hall of Famer.
But he was great at Wisconsin. So that
Phillip Rivers,
Hall yeah, of no, Famer. I said he's exceptional.
And
there.
Because of Chuck Amato, looking like if Guy Fieri was a pit crew boss in NASCAR.
Tom O'Brien, such an average coach.
Chuck Amato with the glasses.
My next pick is going to be, fuck, this is hard. All right, I'm going to go with, in the music genre, John Cougar Mellencamp. The most average guy you could come across. He's not as cool as Bob Seger. He has nowhere near as many hits as Tom Petty. His number one song is Jack and Diane.
Great
doing
song.
The best they can. They're literally average people. He wrote a song about average people. And he's from Indiana, and you're like, oh, he must be the most famous person, famous musician from Indiana. Michael Jackson is the most famous Indiana musician. So,
well,
John Cougar Mellencamp.
So, but he wrote great songs about average people. So, for example, he wrote...
You're still hung up on Kirk Cousins.
No, we're debating. We're debating here. He wrote Pink Houses, another song about average people.
He's
doing
average
great stuff.
Yeah, he's average as could be.
Hurts so good.
Small town. Everything is just average.
He wrote a banger about
possible.
About S&M.
He's as average as possible. John Cougar Mellencamp.
About getting choked out.
He really is that guy you think like, oh, is he Tom Petty? No, he's not Tom Petty.
Well, his middle name's also Cougar.
Yeah, well, he dropped it, though. I think he's just John Mellencamp now.
He's always the Cougar.
He's always
the Cougar to me. I think he wrote great songs about average people like Bruce Springsteen.
What do you mean?
That's what Bruce did. That's what the boss did.
Yeah, Bruce has hits.
Great songs about average people.
All right, Hank, your last pick?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll go with
I have one if you want one.
No, I don't know. Please. I wrote this down, Law & Order SVU.
That's good.
Okay. All right, great.
That's a good pick.
It's not bad.
It's a show you don't turn off, but you kind of also don't really want
to
watch.
You don't go out of your way to watch it, but when it's on sometimes you watch.
Good pick.
And you'll go through the commercials.
It does good suck. Pick. It does suck you in sometimes, though.
But sometimes you just flick right out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, for my last one, this is going to be tough.
Good job, Hank. You didn't have any more than that?
No, knees and spring, but I don't even know if that counts.
Knees, just the joint?
Yeah.
Okay, knees, good. My last one, I'm going to go with, this is tricky. I'm going to go with University of Pittsburgh football.
Okay.
Strike that.
Whoa.
ACC Coastal football.
So you're just taking NC State as a
conference. I had both of these on my list.
Okay.
I think that Pittsburgh is more average than NC State.
Dan Marino.
They've also
I think they won a national title. Or they went to a national title game.
They've had some good players.
National title game
over the years.
Makes it tough.
ACC Coastal football is going to be my last one. I think it's a very, very average division. Anyone can win on any given year and then get their asses kicked in the conference championship game.
Wait, so isn't who's in the ACC Coastal, though?
I'm bringing it up right now.
Because I think that...
UConn.
Miami and Clemson. Oh, no, Clemson and Atlantic.
Clemson's
Miami
not.
Is definitely not average, and Virginia Tech is also pretty good.
Even when Virginia Tech is good, they're not that good, though.
But Miami?
But then you're dealing with... So you're dealing with your Georgia Techs, your Dukes, your UVAs, your Pitts.
Your NC State.
NC
State's the other one.
North Carolina.
Okay.
So that's a...
But what about Miami?
That's a murderer's row of nobody giving a shit about you.
Miami.
Is the U back?
Do you know Georgia Tech's not running the triple option this year? So fucked up. All right. What else we got? Honorable mentions. Hank, you got none?
Wheel of Fortune, knees, and spring.
Wheel of Fortune's good. I had Vanilla Ice Cream.
Oh, and Jeff Green, but that was from Coley.
I had Evan Turner. Evan Turner has his average
but
points
his voice
is 9.9. In his career, he's never averaged more than 14, and he's never averaged less than 7.
That's pretty solid.
He's pretty damn average.
I had 24-hour fitness.
Okay.
Very average gym.
Yes.
Vodka.
Okay.
Mids.
What about owning a Labrador Retriever?
Yeah, but they're great dogs.
They are great dogs, but it's very average.
Very good dogs.
What about Snickers? I feel like Snickers is the most average candy bar because it has peanuts, but it's not the best peanuts with Reese's. Mm-hmm. And it has caramel, but it's not the best caramel with Twix and Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't do anything the best, but it has it all.
I had Subway sandwiches.
Yeah, that's good.
They're average.
That's good.
You'll eat it if you're hungry.
I like that.
But you would probably just walk past it if there was some other place on the block.
Mm-hmm. Bubba sent me Chipotle.
Chipotle? I was going to say my penis size, but it's not. It's below.
I'm going to go mids.
Okay. What about mac and cheese?
Above ground pools. Mac and cheese? I disagree.
You don't think so?
I love mac and cheese.
Okay. Pandora. Orange Starburst.
The best.
You like orange the best?
Yes.
They're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're okay.
It's yellow and pink, the best. And then orange, eh. And then red's terrible.
No, red's pretty good.
All right. Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
As a city.
Well, I kind of like Indianapolis.
Oh, I like it, but it's average because it's not only where all of the test ground for the chain restaurants, but it also mm-hmm. has two of the four major sports, not all four.
Yeah.
It's just average.
I've got Bleacher Report, the yeah. website.
Yes.
Jim Furyk. Just Jim Furyk in general.
Yep, that's good.
And what was my last one? Oh, yeah, the app Pandora.
Also good. Yeah,
pretty average.
Did I say brand muffins? 5'9"?
Yeah, 5'9". Yeah,
perfectly average.
That is perfectly average.
Perfectly average height. And, yeah, I think that's it.
All right, that was an okay Mount Rushmore.
Very okay. Very okay. I think there's some good answers,
moderately
but there
contentious.
Some bad answers.
You guys really swarmed on me on that one.
Well,
but you know what? That's fine. That's the spirit of Mount Rushmore season.
I didn't say anything about Kirk Cousins.
We like to debate things on the show,
tough.
And you know what? We'll let the audience decide.
It's tough when two of the three of us say Toyota Camry, and then you insist that it's the Corolla.
I think the Corolla is more average than
the Corolla.
A Camry.
Corolla is the starter vehicle.
You can be a baller in a Camry.
The Corolla is a starter vehicle.
Put some D's on that.
The Avalon is the elite luxury. It's literally three classes.
I would say that
middle is right. Camry.
A
they
Hyundai,
make it for that reason.
A Hyundai would be the starter vehicle. Then you upgrade to a Corolla.
I'm happy that I picked that when I did because, man, that was everyone had the Toyotas on there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to our interview with Adnan Virk. When did we tape this? About a week and a half ago? I said some things about Joe Madden. The Cubs have been okay since, so maybe I'll take some of those.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
We also are brought to you by our friends at Raycon. It's 2019. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing. The company was actually co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg and Cardi B are already obsessed. Raycon's E50 wireless earbuds have totally changed the game for me. They're so comfortable and so easy to take anywhere. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. And of course, they don't just look great, they sound great too. Go to buyraycon.com/take to get 15% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/take for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. If you've been eyeing a pair, now is the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, buyraycon.com/take. Okay, here he is, Adnan Virk. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest, someone we've actually done work with in the past. We were on a radio show with you once.
No, twice.
Twice?
Mm-hmm. Right out of the gate, Big Cat. Come
you,
on.
That's
you
right.
Know
we,
the
we
voice.
We
called Jason Kidd on your show as Matthew right.
Good,
Delvedova.
Good memory for right. PFT. Here's the memory. So first off, I met you guys in Miami. I was there with Russillo for the All-Star game. Yep. That was the first time we met. We did the show. And then PFT's right. When you guys were on at ESPN, you called Jason Kidd
that's
on the
right.
show.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Kidd was great.
Let us right
he
through.
He was like, no problem. Yeah. You
he
call,
agreed
you called
to come
the
on Barstool Van Talk. So when the show gets greenlit again, he'll be our second guest.
So that's the voice. Adnan Virk, you came with a posse. I didn't know that. Things have changed. So you're at DAZN now. You have two podcasts, GM Shuffle and Cinephile, and then you host shows on DAZN, and you have a posse. When did that happen?
I know. It's weird, fellas. Like, you guys know me. I'm just a little Canadian. And I love the fact, by the way, on PFT's laptop, he has a sorry right there for
sorry.
Me. So
yes.
he literally put it up there for me. But I just think that if you don't have a posse, like, who are you? Like,
yeah.
In this day and age, honestly, like, just feel like you're – I don't even really know these guys. I saw them on the street, gave them 10 bucks each. Can you come in here? Yeah. You guys Barstool fans? Like, yeah, great.
That's actually not a bad business model. It's just, like, Tinder, except just for dudes to roll with you, please.
Right. Yes. Right.
Yes.
What's this guy do? I don't know.
Yeah. He just stands next to me and makes me look very important.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up DAZN right off the bat because we've struggled with the pronunciation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's DAZN.
I've got it now.
DAZN?
Yeah, it is DAZN. And I don't blame you, PFD. You're right. You see it and you go, is it DAZN? Is it DAZN? I'm not really sure. Uh-huh. But it is DAZN, which I think is different. It's a cool name. It's,
yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
But listen, Big Cat,
it's four letters.
Yeah. It is. It's four letters. Still ends with
one vowel. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of it. I mean, it's okay.
But what about the first time someone said Barstool? Somebody who's in a meeting goes, what do you mean? Like cheers? Like Barstools? Like,
yeah.
Like, how does that relate to sports? And then yeah. It's like, no, dude, it's great. Barstool, yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's just more the confusion. If you make something confusing for me, I'm kind of out already.
Well, here's what happened. So ESPN, I see four letters, one vowel, ends in an N.
Right.
But you say all the letters. And then I see DAZN, four letters, one vowel, ends in an N. So I'm like, wait, it's not DAZN?
Yeah.
I'm so dumb that when it's...
It's not dumb.
My brain has been conditioned to say sports networks by letters. So you got started working at TSN.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And fun fact, people forget, the T in TSN stands for the.
That's perfect.
It's the sports network.
That's very literal. Right.
It's
I like
so Canadian.
That. All right, so how is DAZN going? So you have the baseball whip around, right?
That's right. So change up, which, and I want to talk about your Cubs in a minute here.
Okay.
I really want to get your thoughts on Joe Maddon, because
yes.
This is keeping me
hot
up
seat.
At night. Well, this is the thing. So let me just pipe up the show first. So it's on from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m., live look around all the games as they happen, and me and Scott Rogowski, who is a legitimate comedian, are on from 7 to 10, and Lauren Gardner, Tony Loughner, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. So whip around style, all the games as they happen, which is great. Well, what's better than one piece of cheesecake? You got 10 pieces of cheesecake, all the games as they happen, all the best moments, Trout, Machado, et cetera. Let's talk about your Cubs.
Yeah.
So everyone keeps saying, all right, Joe Maddon on the hot seat, and I get the fact the Cubs have underachieved, and I understand the fact that division is poor. It's obviously a mediocre
Very
division.
Very poor.
But whenever you fire a guy, you have to be able to say, hey, we've got the next man up. Like, who's the one lurking in the wings?
I think people think it's David Ross.
Ryan Sandberg.
No, I see.
Ryan Sandberg.
We already passed on Ryan.
Everyone's like, Rhino's going to be the next
big
one.
He was going to be the guy.
He was groomed to be the guy.
Yeah, and then he passed.
Like,
it was a big deal.
Not working out.
No, I actually think people think David Ross. I swear to God.
Okay, if it's Rossi, then I'm all in.
Because I think the way that the manager position in baseball has moved to now, it's less about like the X's and O's because they have so many guys upstairs that do that shit for him.
Right.
You know, like Aaron Boone, someone basically sets up the whole game for him. He doesn't decide. He doesn't have to make these big decisions as much as he did maybe in the past. It's a lot more about keeping a clubhouse together and having, like, you know, and I think David Ross would be great at that aspect.
I have to know specifically with Booney what level it is. If you want me to call him, I'll call him. But I mean,
nice flex.
But honestly, I can't picture this Big Cat. Literally, there's like Brian Cashman, like Booney's wearing like an earpiece, and he's telling him, like, okay, Jonathan Holder here.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's
I think
the
it's
image
a plan.
It's already in place.
It's
to go,
like, when
if
he gets
this
to
happens,
this,
do this.
Right.
If this happens, do this.
It's like almost like a choose your own adventure. So, you know, book that you're reading every game. So it's not like you're not making decisions. It's just a lot of the decisions have kind of been made for you.
Collectively, rather than one person.
And back to Joe Maddon, the only reason that he's like, quote unquote, on the hot seat
is
because he doesn't have a contract.
Right.
They knew this was going to happen. If you don't give him an extension before this season and the Cubs don't win, aren't on pace to win 110 games, there will be spots in the summer where people will be like, are they going to fire him?
Right. But my question to you as a Cubs fan, do you think Joe Maddon is still a good manager?
I do. I think he's a good manager. I do think I think there's an element of, it's very complicated, but I think there's an element of 2016, even after winning the World Series, there were some things that happened in that clubhouse that he never fully repaired.
Right. The fact he wasn't going to be happy unless Aroldis Chapman's arm fell off.
Right. Yeah. And just not using guys in the right spot. And I think there is the element of, you know, a lot of guys will say to the media that they don't care about how they get shifted up and down the lineup, but it matters to players.
Well,
like, guys don't like batting in different spots day to day.
There's an ego issue. I don't want to hit six.
You're right. Exactly. Or it's even that. It's just like, you know, you get comfortable in a spot. So I think a little bit of that, a little bit of switching out guys and playing musical chairs at points. I think Joe Maddon is a great manager. I think he was perfect for a young team. Once you get to a veteran team, I think it gets a little bit different.
I also think that there's an element of, like, I always look at it, if you fire Joe Madden, or if Joe Madden doesn't re-sign next year, he's going to get picked up somewhere else.
Correct.
Right. The question isn't, is he a good manager? Because he is a good manager. It's, is he a good manager for this team right now?
Right.
And he's a guy, like, if you look in football, like Marty Schottenheimer used to be, where it's like, yes, he's an awesome coach.
Right.
But if you keep him around the same team for too long, it just becomes like Charlie Brown's teacher going, womp, womp, womp. Right. And you kind of tune him out
after a while. It's Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson? Was it the rule of seven? Was it 7 years that the guys tune him out and you want to basically change over the entire team? Otherwise, people will just not listen.
I know some managers, too, who don't like Joe Madden, who think that he makes it about himself.
Yeah.
That's where I thought you might do that. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes it's a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He takes the pressure off the guys because he's funny and he drinks wine. He tells stories for an hour.
Like, brings a magician in. Yeah. He does all that weird shit.
I love that stuff. Who wants to see a parrot? All right.
You can say a million things about Joe Madden if you want to like critique him, but the one thing he always does and I respect is he never, ever, ever lets his players get the blame.
Correct.
He always stands in front of his players and he never you will never see him take shots at his players through the media, which a lot of managers do.
Right.
He never does that shit. So in that respect, he absolutely is great for them.
He also has a hell of a spin move.
Yeah. Spin move on Joe West.
Joe West was not able to go.
Yeah. No, you can't.
So Joe West was Jonathan Ogden.
Yeah, so baseball is, you're covering it every night.
Yeah.
We've talked about it, and I think everyone talks about it in the media. Like, where does baseball go with none of these guys being, like, superstars? Right. And it's such a regional sport. You just only care about your team.
Right.
You fix baseball for us.
So I think I love
go
it.
Go ahead.
Commissioner for Dave Verk.
Yeah,
you figure it out.
We've got some ideas if you don't have it. Yeah.
Steroids. No, back.
Nothing wrong with a juice ball.
Fighting.
Get the offense. Fighting is a good thing. I think this. I do agree that the sports become regionalized, but I feel like I'm still that guy who just loves watching the game. Like, I get the fact the All-Star Game numbers go down every year, but I'm the guy that still loves the introduction. I still want to know what all these guys look like with their hats off. So I guess I'm not one who's personally reflective of the demographic, which is saying that baseball is not a national sport, because to me it is. Because our show, listen, to your point, Dan, if you're a Cubs fan, you watch the game on WGN, and then after the game you flip over to change, you're like, all right, I already got my Cubs, so my regional fix is satiated.
Right.
But now, you know what? I do want to watch Kershaw and Chris Paddock and Manny Machado, whomever. So I think that I fight that notion of I just watch my team and that's it. I do think that happens in this sport more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, because listen, you could argue that in the NBA, do you really care about the Hawks and the Wizards? Well, no, not really.
Yeah,
no,
I'm a big Wizards fan.
You watch for stars.
So yeah.
I think NBA, you watch for stars.
Right.
And NFL, you watch every game because there's only 16 games.
Right. College football, same thing. There's only so many games.
In baseball, I feel like you do watch for stars a little bit, too. So
that's
like,
my thing.
Yeah, so you like your regional team, but then, I would watch Manny Machado get up.
PFTs with
me. I would watch Craig Kimbrell get into the game and do his weird little dance that he does before.
You're not going to do it for a whole game, but change the game to just 5 minutes.
But it's hard to watch. It's hard to be like, I can't wait to watch Mike Trout tonight when he could go and have four at-bats and two of them could be a walk and a single.
Right.
Like, that's not, and it happens, an hour apart from each other. That's the problem with baseball it doesn't lend itself to watching stars night in and night out where you're like, this guy, like in basketball, if you're watching LeBron James, you know he's going to play 42 minutes.
Right.
You know he'll have the ball in his hand. You know he'll shoot the ball 25 times.
Right.
When you watch baseball, if you're watching for a star, you might get four or five at bats.
But here's what I think helps, specifically change up in the zone, which is fantasy. Fantasy baseball is still huge, just like football. Mm. So if you agree with PFT, you still like to watch the sports, and you're big into fantasy baseball, then I think it's a huge win.
That's for sure. I mean, I gamble on the game, so I watch it,
If you gamble and fantasy, then I think, there you go. That's how to fix baseball. More gambling, more fantasy.
Are they going to be open to gambling, though? Is Manfred, like, everyone talks about Adam Silver being, we always joke on this show, Adam Silver.
He's got friends in the desert.
He has the easiest job in the world because the other three commissioners are so resistant to change. Adam Silver can just be like, gambling sounds like a good idea. And everyone's like, damn, Adam Silver, what a fucking forward thinker.
Oh, yeah, he sometimes just changes too much. He goes based off whatever like is the most recent Reddit thread on r/NBA. And then he's like, we're going to implement that.
Yeah,
he's
got Adam Progressive Silver. Like, that's his name. Everything's
so easy.
He's so progressive. Whatever you want to do.
Saying gambling is good for the sport.
Right.
Having that be like a hot take in comparison to the other three commissioners is insane. He's not even saying anything crazy. He's just saying we're going to grow the pie. So is Rob Manfred going to do the same thing? Or?
Well, I will say, DAZN, we're completely in cahoots with Major League Baseball because changeup is done in Secaucus. So the studio is there is where we are. So MLB's been great. Rob McLeary, Dave Patterson, the whole team. Like, we have Harold Reynolds on. We have Dan Plesac on. We have Eric Burns on. That guy's a nut.
Yeah.
Like, so I do think that that line's been blurred a little bit. So maybe if Major League Baseball goes, you know what? We're not doing it on MLB Network. But if DAZN wants to do it on changeup, yeah, okay, sure. We're partners, but it's a separate entity. Go ahead.
You should have Kevin Millar on and have him just do dick talk based on every player that's
he
up.
Loves
like,
to do it.
Okay, so, this guy, let me tell you about this guy's package right now. This guy's hung like a light switch.
So before I came here, of course, I did let everybody know, hey, I'm going to go see Big Cat PFT. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, great. Ask them what happened with intentional talk. I'm like, I've heard the story. Yes. Millar. I got it. Chris
Wait,
Rose.
Yeah. So do you work in, you don't work in the same area?
It's the same building, yeah.
So do you hit wiffle balls?
I haven't had a chance yet, but I could.
I had the record. Yeah.
So you guys have done it.
Well, collectively, we had the record.
What was the record?
I think I hit
Is it like
five.
Vlad Jr., 91?
Yeah, I hit five.
We had a total of six.
Yeah, we had six.
So just say that.
It's
Big
like
Cat,
I'm like Hank Aaron, and he's my brother.
We had a total of six home runs.
765.
Billy Ripken and Cal Ripken.
Is there a spot here, like you got, like where we are right now, if I may say, it's nice, but it's a little sterile. Like I was expecting like hoops and stuff. And like, do you
We're
going to
have a
pinball machine?
Okay,
when Russillo comes by, there's a bench press machine.
Speaking of Russillo.
Specifically for Russillo.
What's it like hosting a show with someone who's actually funny now? Is that nice?
Good one. That's going to hurt Russillo's feelings.
Listen, Russillo's a great dude.
He is. We like him.
He's definitely a friend. He was such an advocate for you guys. Seriously. Before, like, I had met you guys, he was like, no, you guys are going to love these guys.
Yeah.
And right? And you know, your image can be for some, like, oh, I'm not sure. It's controversial. It's edgy. What are these guys doing? Ryan's like, oh, those guys are great.
Right.
So he is as big a fan of yours as you guys are of him.
So let's talk about some ESPN.
Sure.
All right. You got fired. Are you addicted to leaking stuff? Do you have
a leak problem?
You have a leak problem? Are you going
to
just tell everyone what? Are you going to release this podcast before we even release it?
No, I think in this case,
is that
I'm
why these
guys
are here?
Right,
they want to make sure.
It's going to run on awful announcing tomorrow morning.
They want to make sure that we follow the right protocol. Like Burke cannot be trusted on his own. That's what we have by army here.
So, I mean, you're addicted to leaking.
I feel like that type of thing happens a lot though, like in sports media. These websites, they get their scoops from somewhere, right?
Right.
Explain the whole situation.
Yeah, why was it different when you
I know
did
you've
it?
Done it, but give it to us for real. Don't give us the Jim Miller, Richard Deitch, like, let's clean it up. Those guys had your back, man. That was crazy.
That's what I honestly have to tell you guys. That whenever this thing happens, and I pray, have you ever been fired before?
Oh, yeah, one time from ESPN.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. We do have
good
that
point. Relatable.
Right. I had a slightly longer
stint
than
homework.
You guys.
Yeah,
you guys can relate to this.
Yeah.
But like when you're watching everything unfolding, it's like watching your own funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're listening to podcasts. People are talking about Adnan was regarded as a good guy. He was well. But I'm still here. I'm making eggs right now for my kids. I'm still here. I got plenty of hot takes. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And then you hear some people being. And of course, if you go online, you go, okay, at best, you're going to go. If it's 50-50, you feel pretty good. But I was looking. I'm like, oh, people are more on my side. Or people are going to be like, hey, this guy's a good guy. This shouldn't have happened. And as you mentioned, Jim Miller and Deitch, those guys were unbelievable.
I was like, take it easy, guys. Like, yeah. I know he shouldn't have been fired, I mean, but like he probably did leak something.
He's not deep throat here.
Yeah.
He's not the Pentagon papers.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. So walk us through it. So tell us the whole story. Because so people who don't know, like what exactly happened? You've been at ESPN forever.
Right.
The story comes out that it was a Baseball Tonight news that you had maybe talked to someone on background. That's the part that sucks, that you got fired for fucking leaking baseball news. Like, no one cares.
It was like the start time. It was like the start time of Baseball Tonight, right?
We're the dinosaur of the worst news ever. I wouldn't even known that news. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like PFT said, it wasn't exactly the Pentagon Papers.
You're right.
Like,
yeah.
If you're gonna go out with a bang, you should probably go out with something a little more incendiary, which made the decision a little more crazy. But honestly, like you guys said, I've been there for 9 years. I thought I put up a good resume. I'd done a lot of work on a lot of different shows and had a good time. And sometimes, listen, you develop relationships with guys in the media and you just, you know, it isn't thought to be anything nefarious or anything sinister. But in this case, ESPN was really upset about it and they just said, we're going to part ways. And it's kind of like a marriage in many ways, or a relationship, right? You're with somebody, something happens. You go, hang on a second, is this that big a deal? And they go, yeah, it is. And you go, I don't understand. Like, I didn't, you know, I'm sorry. No, you're out.
That was that?
Can I get the flat screen TV? No. Can I get a couch? Uh-huh. No, we're done. The marriage is over. See you later. And
so
you go, okay. Wait,
was it about the leak itself? Because I feel like leaks happen in this business all the time. There are like numerous websites out there that have sources inside, whether it's FS1, whether it's ESPN, wherever. Right. Was it the leak, or did you, like, right after you got caught, were you like, no, it wasn't me, and they're like, let's see your phone. You're like, oh, yeah, it kind of was me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the whole situation probably just became unfortunate, and they just didn't like, I don't know, I guess the way that the sequence of events unfolded. But Honestly, I'm lucky the way things worked out. Because as you guys know, this industry is very tricky, man. Like something happens and all of a sudden you go, all right, that's it. This guy's done. He's got a black mark on him. He's got a scarlet letter. But thankfully, that wasn't the case. You know what I mean? For me, I was just really lucky that John Skipper gave me this opportunity, that Jamie Horwitz came in and did this. So honestly, ESPN's a great place to work. The last 72 hours were not great. Uh-huh. I mean, you guys know what that's like.
Yeah.
Getting pulled the plug is not fun. But, you know. It's worked out well.
So it sounds like it was shocking, though, when it happened. When you're like, wait, this is really happening?
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
really going down?
Traumatic.
That's crazy.
If you look at, like, Google right now, top five stressors in life, and it's like, you know, death of a loved one. I think number two is, like, you know, a divorce. But, like, getting fired is right there, moving, relocating. You know,
yeah.
We've got four boys, and, you know, we're living in Central Connecticut. Life is bliss, and all of a sudden... Boom, you're
Bam.
Out.
Was
Bam, there, at Super Bowl Sunday, you're getting boom.
Yeah, which
was top trending topic.
That's that was not bad, good. Though,
because it got buried real quick.
Although the Super Bowl sucked.
So everyone's like, let's get back to talking about that.
PFT, to your point, I thought it would get buried because it was on before the Super Bowl, but my understanding is it actually was the opposite, because everybody was online on their phones tweeting.
Oh, it's a big day.
So it's a big internet day. Oh, wait, what happened to Virk? And the Super Bowl sucked, to Dan's point. Which I think the Eagles should still be champions. The Super Bowl was so lousy. The Eagles should still be the champions.
Were you? Was there any element of relief, because like for us when we got fired, I was like, sweet, I don't have to do that show for 16 more weeks.
Sweatpants on Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's certain elements that you're like, listen, with ESPN, it's a great place to work, but it does consume your life. Like work-life balance is not a strength, and maybe that's my own fault, just that I was dedicated to the job so much. So hey, you want me to fill in with Russillo? No problem. You want me to do Mike and Mike or Golic and Wingo? Sure. In addition to doing baseball tonight, college football, college basketball, etc. So I think when you're there, because it's so competitive, because the people are so talented, you naturally have it overwhelm your life, which is not a good thing.
Right.
Now that I'm at DAZN, I'm living in Hohokus, New Jersey, 15 miles from Manhattan. Like, I feel like there's a lot more balance in my life, which was not ESPN's fault. I think it's my fault. I just kind of let the job overwhelm me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't reward you in the end. If they want to get rid of you, like, all right.
Well, right.
This guy didn't call it sick for 9 years. Well, good luck to you.
Right. That's true. You should take your sick days. That's actually the biggest thing.
And your vacations. Hank is living proof of that.
Do not pass on those, because they can fire you at any moment.
Right. No one's going to go, hey, he did cut short his paternity time. By the way, did you take your full paternity
time? No, not really.
He took an afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, Big Cat, take your time. How long?
We took a Sunday off.
What's the paternity time you get here at Barstool?
I don't think there is a – I think you could – I actually – I don't even know. Like, we could – at Barstool, I think I could probably not show up for 2 months and send a few emails, and people – if I kept on doing Pardon My Take, people wouldn't say anything.
Right.
But then there's a chance that I could show up for one – not one afternoon, and everyone would be like, where the fuck are you?
But think about this. You guys worked for ESPN.
Right.
I literally was on your first program at ESPN.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And
Correct.
It was a short stint, but if you were to compare the environments of Barstool and ESPN.
Yeah, that actually is one of the lessons we learned was don't be in a situation where other people can kind of control your destiny. Here, we control our own destiny, and we make our own content, and we don't really have to answer to anyone. Like, people always ask, what is the beauty of this place? Like, we get to do whatever we want.
Right.
And talk to whoever we want, and go anywhere we want. And I don't think there's many places in the media in 2019 where the creators have that freedom.
All kidding aside, if I say to you guys, listen, you can have a huge hit show on ESPN, which would be awesome.
Fuck no.
Or
no,
or do this where literally, PFT, you do whatever you like. Yeah. Yeah. You do whatever we're giving you zero restrictions. If you ask an actor, if you ask a singer, musician, whomever, you have zero restrictions, money's decent, everything's good. Or you're in a corporate machine, you're a big dude, billboards, but you better follow the company line.
Right.
Oh, equal amounts of money, no chance at all.
Right.
I would go anywhere near ESPN for that. Like right now, the job that we have, we set our own schedule. Like, the most control that anybody has over our schedule is when we all agree, okay, we're meeting at this time to talk about this weird, shitty idea that we've got that we're going to somehow make work despite itself. Like, that is the most, that's the most rigid that we get in our day. We don't have production meetings that are set. We don't have bosses that we really report to.
Right.
With the exception of, like, if we fuck up at some point, somebody asks us, hey, why'd you fuck up? And then we tell them.
But the sellout money, if you were like, hey, dude,
PFT is the same amount. So let's go the other way. So let's less money to work here rather than the big corporation. Uh-huh.
If you're talking sellout money, I'd take sellout.
Sellout money, yeah.
Rick Riley I'll be open about that.
Rick Riley money, that's where I draw the line.
You start throwing millies around and it's like, you don't have to work for the rest of your
life. I double your salary to major corporation, but they will tell you exactly what to do. You guys can dress a different way. I want suits and ties.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the suit and tie thing. I did that for 3 weeks. Worst 3 weeks of my life. That was right before the Super Bowl. That's why I didn't pay that much attention to you getting fired, because I was too concerned with wearing a fucking necktie.
By the way, I did get a shout out on your podcast, though. I do appreciate that.
What was that?
I was fired, you guys said friend of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, we do consider you a friend of the show.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Even though you leak everything.
Yeah.
Have you been tested yet at the zone? Have they been like, I didn't get out of the room?
Yeah, no, thankfully they have not put in a strong anti-drug.
Dude, I would make so many of those jokes if you were here. It would be, I would be
trouble. But that's part of friendship, is it not? Right. You can be able to bust a guy's chop.
Right. You know what? Right now we're not actually recording this. We're going to let you go, and we're going to see what you put out there, what turns up online tomorrow, and then if there's nothing, then we'll have you back and we'll do the show.
It's like an addiction. Can't help himself.
So after
the Uber driver told me he'd be here at 11. Really? Can I tell anybody that, or is that confidential between us?
After you leave ESPN, I imagine it takes like some time to get your thoughts together, figure out what you want to do. I read that you pulled an ultimate fired guy move and you grew a beard.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a great move. I wish I could do that. That's the one drawback to not having good facial
hair.
I'll
see if I can find the picture. But I was inspired by Letterman because I said, you know what? After 30 plus years of having to shave every day, his first thought was, I'm not shaving. That's all I care about. So I went a good 3 weeks without shaving, and it was embarrassing because it was way too many white hairs. So I had this crux here. Do I dye it like Keith Hernandez for men?
I dye my hair.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No.
Otherwise,
fuck no.
I look like I was 57 years old.
As long as you admit it. As long as you say that you dye your hair.
You don't have to tell somebody preemptively, oh, by the way, hey, guys, sorry, I just dyed my beard.
No, I think you have to say that.
You start the conversation by saying, hey,
I've done it.
You have to be like, hey, just so you know, I'm dyeing my hair. I tell people, like, hey,
preemptively, before they make a judgment about you, they go, I dyed my hair. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because you don't want to be a Coach K or like one of these guys who's weirdly got jet black hair late in life. It's like, just be open about it.
But growing a beard, to me, it was like liberating. And then I had to go for interviews and stuff, and I was like, do I shave the beard? Do I keep the beard?
It's kind of like a power journo move, having a nice beard like Bob Lee. Late in his career, he had the general had the beard.
And there was a real stick. When I started ESPN in 2010, you know, it was like, I don't think it was quite like the Yankees, no facial hair rule, but you had to be somebody special to do it. Now everybody has a beard. If you don't have a beard, then people think, what's wrong with you? Did you not get the memo?
Do you think
Jesse Palmer, by the way, started the trend? He was the first guy at ESPN went cool beard.
You know what?
Yeah. Jesse now engaged.
So damn good looking that if he, no matter what he does, you're like, okay, we'll have that on the air, no problem.
Best looking Canadian.
Do you think ESPN is like trying to be more friendly to their talent in that respect? That like I'm always fascinated with how the media works and how ESPN, because let's be honest, when they hired us to do Barstool Fan Talk, they wanted like the coolness of what we bring,
right,
and kind of a relatability that they might not have anymore. Do you think that they're gonna switch back? Because there's been a weird trend where I think ESPN got lost a little bit, and you felt like you didn't, you know, the big sets and all this technology. It's like, what we care about is connecting with human beings.
Right. I do remember an anchor, I can't remember what it was offhand, but he said something about when they unveiled that set, $100 million set, gorgeous set, and the anchors are this big. And
right.
He goes, yeah, that's ESPN. He goes, nothing's bigger than the brand.
Right.
Giant sports are giant ESPN, and the anchors are this big.
So that was intentional, obviously, is to just be like, hey, we can just change out people left and right, and the brand keeps going on, which I guess is smart.
Yeah, I was about to say, in that respect, it's like you don't want to put too much power in the form of labor. Nothing's bigger than the brand, which I think is accurate.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone gives a damn that I'm not there. Like, no, ESPN's awesome.
Yeah, and it's the history of ESPN. You know, I think the talent did get bigger than the brand at points.
Right, Kilborn.
With Dan Patrick and Kilborn and Olver. And they were able to squash that.
Right.
But it's always interesting to me because I feel like ESPN, for the longest time, it was just they are the worldwide leader. They dominate everything. Right. And now in the last few years, it's been like, well, maybe not.
Yeah. And I think, listen, you guys have proven that. Other shows have proven that. Listen, personality does count. There's going to be people who say, well, nothing's more important than the content. Of course. I mean, you're not going to watch a lousy movie if the story's bad, even if it has actors you like, directors like, et cetera. But if you have personalities that like it, would they not enhance the story?
Right.
Like in late night shows, right? That's a perfect example. You say, I don't really care about the late night. I just want to watch Fallon or Colbert, et cetera. It used to be The Tonight Show in capital letters, right? When Conan was doing it and the fact that Jay wanted to take it back and him and Letterman fighting over it. Now it's like, no, I watch Colbert. I watch Fallon. I watch whomever it is, right?
Right.
Yeah. So similar to your point, I think, Big Cat, you're right, that ESPN's always going to have a leg up. They've been around for 40 years.
Right.
A 40-year head start, dude. You've done some great things over the ways. There are obviously a lot of smart people there, a strong infrastructure, et cetera. But if you have more personality-enhanced mediums, I think you have a chance, which we do with DAZN. Certainly would change up with our boxing coverage. You're enhancing personalities. It's what you guys do as well.
Yeah, DAZN, I've noticed that they've done a very good job recently of sponsoring fights that have a lot of blood and crazy knockouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're big. Like, they get the tweets up on Twitter, like, within seconds of a knockout. So, like, it's started to work its way into the subconscious already that, like, okay, DAZN is out here and they're going to be a player. I heard that they are thinking about doing NFL rights stuff, too. which would be like going after DirecTV a little bit. Now, that would be a game changer.
Well, listen, and to go back to, again, with ESPN, look at how football changed that place in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
We all grew up with Countdown and et cetera. I remember talking to Chris Berman. You know, it's so cool. It's funny. You think about ESPN. I can't believe, like, I literally met these people, that I was friendly with these people. I rode in a car with Chris Berman to the World Series in 2013. And I'm, like, just geeking out the whole time. Like, Boomer, tell me stories. And, you know, with Chris Berman, when he talks, sometimes, like, he removes, like, words. Meaning, he says, like, he'll just go, people look at me, football, baseball. and what he's saying is people look at me and think I'm just a football guy, but I love baseball.
Yeah.
And he's telling me the San Francisco Giants are my favorite team. Like, I'm a diehard baseball fan. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, baseball is the reason I got this business. I'm like, this is Chris Berman. This is like Mr. Football primetime. But he said, listen, at that nexus of time, he realized football was skyrocketing and just jump on the wagon and go. And that changed ESPN. Fox Sports was fledgling. 1994, they got football. Boom. So there's no question. Look, I love baseball as much as anybody. It's my favorite sport, always will be. But I love the NFL, and if you get the NFL, that changes things. So if DAZN gets football, listen, I'd be ecstatic. I'd be over the moon. I'd be raising my hand. Can I be a part of it? We've got NFL in Canada. You guys know I'm Canadian. I'd love to be a part of that coverage. So, dude, if we get NFL rights, I'm not privy to the negotiations.
Anything you'd like to tell us about the ongoing negotiations?
Yeah, please.
We'll cut this part out.
Let us know everything.
Right. I am not privy to those negotiations. They've wised up.
Why not?
I'm not really sure why. Okay, I think Adney would bring a lot to the table.
They put you in a skiff, one of the secure reading rooms when they're doing those negotiations.
All right, kind of a random question.
Yeah.
How much did cereal suck for you?
Well, it was hard because then everyone, and at first nobody knows your name, and all of a sudden they go, wait, you're the guy who murdered your girlfriend. I go, no, that's not me. I'm the guy who talks about movies on Cinephile, this podcast I do. So I think it helped in terms of brand awareness.
Yeah.
But it sucks when you're... It sucks.
Like you have a unique name, and it's like, boom, the next most famous guy with your name is the hit podcast murderer.
Well, here's the other part of it, too. So my name is correctly pronounced Adnan, which is the cereal guy's pronunciation. But I was literally 5 years old in kindergarten, and they're doing all the names, and they said my name is Adnan. I go, all right, I'm just going to go with Adnan. It sounds cleaner
and
neater.
Don't fight. Yeah, very Canadian of you.
Right, very. And Canadians go with the short A's. Mike Madano, not Mike Madonna.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, short A's. So I just always went with Adnan. Then cereal comes up, and they go, it's Adnan. They go, wait, which one of you is the imposter? Is it the killer or the sportscaster?
We should have fucking done, when he got fired, we should have done a free Adnan. Hashtag brought it back.
Yeah.
Damn it. Cross
down the
streams.
Cereal music.
Got everyone crossing streams.
The other problem, too, is if you say, my name's Adnan, they go, Adnan, which sounds like a robot. You're like, oh, this is my buddy Adnan.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that would suck. That's like a nightmare to have some, you know.
If there was a big cat who was a murderer.
Yeah, it's like, well, that sucks.
By the way, but
when Florio fucks up, I get a little of that crossfire sometimes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, by the way, I do like seeing you on NBC. Yeah.
The notification comes across your phone. It's like PFT, arrested for hit and run. It's like, no, that was Mike again.
After listening to Cyril, though, do you guys think he did it?
I'm so dumb that my brain has been polluted to not know the answers to any questions in modern media now. So, like, the point of that podcast is to just inundate you with both sides of everything. Like, the show would not be interesting if it was just very clear that he was railroaded and sent to prison for a crime he didn't commit.
Yeah.
Likewise, the show would not be as interesting if it was very obvious that he did it. So their job is to make it very even-sided. So I think he probably did it, all things being equal, but I think I'm smart enough to know that I have no fucking idea.
He either didn't do it or he's an unbelievable sociopath.
Yeah.
Because, like, that part where you trick yourself, you're like, wait, this guy's really likable. Well, of course, if he's a murderer, you know, sociopaths can be likable.
He's like Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, right. You can just trick yourself into thinking about it. But, I guess I'd say... yes.
No.
Final answer.
Your big no?
No, but just because we have the same name. Are you kidding?
Okay, what about you,
he
Hank?
He could go to murdering spree. I'd still defend him. Like, he's fine.
Hank, what's
I
your
take?
I
can't remember any of the details of the case. I'm going to say yes.
I'll say this, too. For a lot of hype for that, it was a little long. Like, after a while, I'm like, all right, dude, 8 episodes of this.
Didn't they have the Netflix series?
I don't need to see the series. And there's a book as well. I don't need the book as well. Yeah. I got it. Either he did or didn't do it. I don't think he did it.
I started to watch the Netflix series, and I was like, I can't do this.
I need Chernobyl.
Let me watch something more upbeat like Chernobyl.
I didn't listen.
You didn't listen? Just give me a take. You don't have to.
He's free. Innocent.
Oh,
he's innocent. Okay. Hank is on the Adnan Innocent Project.
All right, I'll end with this question. SeatGeek question, promo code TAKE. You put in promo code TAKE, you get $10 off SeatGeek purchase.
Yeah.
Sopranos, what was the ending? Who died?
You know, there's this very artistic theory, which I'm going to go with, which is that because the camera, you know, it's all from Tony's POV, right? Like, his point of view is he's watching what's happening. And then the last shot, he looks up and it goes to black. So I believe that David Chase actually whacked us. He whacked the audience because we're watching him, and we go to black. We can't see any more of the story. So I think that we get killed.
I like that. I remember watching that real time and thinking my cable went out.
I think 99% of that. You know, I'm one of the few who did not, Big Cat. I was enraged, though. I said, what a cop-out. I was screaming at David Chase, going, what? Does he die or not? Like, that's brutal.
Yeah.
And my buddy with me was going, no, the cable's like, it's not the cable. It's such an artsy move to not end the movie. It's unambiguous. Uh-huh. It's so for the critics. I'm like, this is exactly what he would do. Well, like, this is what French films would do in the 60s. We're not going to end the movie.
It
like,
ended.
This is garbage.
The last season of Sopranos, I
want blood.
Like, I felt like deja vu, though, with the last season of Game of Thrones, where, if you remember in real time, I remember having this conversation where everyone was so mad because, like, we need to kill everyone. Why the hell are these people still alive? Like, this is you. It's so hard to end these shows that you become invested in everyone, and you're like, well, everyone's got to die. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
So I bought Jesse Palmer, The Sopranos, because last year he was like, no, I heard it's brutal. I go, what? He goes, the ending's the worst ending ever. He goes, it's one of the greatest shows of all time. He goes, I heard the ending sucked. I go, I'll buy it for you. Make your own decision. So he texted me last week, a couple weeks ago. He's like, oh, dude, it's the greatest show ever. I'm like, yeah, I told you that. And he goes, I was just expecting a lot of murder and blood. I thought there'd be more of that because of Game of Thrones. I go, well, that's not the way you should evaluate a show. Which beloved character gets murdered next?
Right.
Like, Agatha Christie. This show's awesome.
Right.
But I watched the last two Game of Thrones because I'd never seen the show. I saw the first episode. Wasn't for me. I'm just not a big Dungeons & Dragons guy, right? I'm not trying to hate, whatever. Yeah. I'm not in fantasy. But I watched the last two with my wife. And thankfully, she was giving me spoilers because I didn't know what the hell was going on. And all I cared about was Dinklage. I go, he's awesome. I love the station.
And he was terrible at the end.
Right. And I go, is Dinklage okay? And he lived. That's all I cared about.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I lived, and so did Dinklage.
Yes.
It was a second act for both of us.
I would say if we're looking at the best TV show of all time that landed the plane at the end that actually had
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad would be like the best.
With a
bullet. I don't think it can get any better than that.
With a bullet.
Again, yeah.
Everything felt clear.
Mm-hmm.
His kids still get the money. Jesse gets away. He's the moral conscience. Hank does die, which I think at that point he does want to die.
He needed to die.
Yeah,
he killed the white supremacists.
right. The Wire, too. The Wire, just because the system rolls on.
Yeah, the Wire is relentlessly bleak.
Right.
Like, relentlessly bleak. Like, I can just go to Baltimore and see what's happening.
Right.
I don't know if I need to sit through this show and be all that depressed about my life.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Before we let you go, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah, I brought a gift for you guys.
Whoa,
I didn't know what to bring. I said, listen, you had Julian Edelman, you had big stars here. So I brought, straight from Canada, maple cream.
Oh, those are really good.
Look at
these. Originally, I was just going to give them to Big Cat because he had the baby, but I said, that's not fair.
No, we got to share these.
Yeah, why should you have to have a kid? So
we'll share them.
So maple cream cookies straight from Canada.
He's already tasted Nature's cookies.
Those are good.
As a sex haver. I'm going to have one right now.
You know, I just think you got to bring a gift. You guys have always been good
to me. I'm on a diet, but they look delicious.
I'll have one for you.
I started one yesterday. No, I started a diet.
Is it keto?
No, I'm just trying to. Listen, it's gotten away from me. That's the thing, too. Like, in your hypothetical that if we had to work at ESPN, it'd probably make me lose weight.
Mm. Okay, how about this? Because anything is possible.
Yeah.
Right? The famous quote was, happiness is seeing Bristol in your rearview mirror. Okay, they've had
Who
anchors.
Said that? Dan Patrick?
I can't remember, but it was a former anchor.
Okay.
But listen, Keith Olbermann did not go on the best of terms, is now back at ESPN. He's been back several times. What are the odds? You two
zero.
Go back to ESPN, I go back to ESPN one day?
Zero.
I'm not saying 0%, I'm going to say 1%, because if they make us like president of the entire company, if we end up owning ESPN one day,
see, I think
then
I will
go back and I will just program myself onto every show.
I would love for them to make me a Godfather offer, and then I can make it public. I can go Adnan on them and just fucking leak it and be like, turned it down.
Right. And then you don't have any proof of that. I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Adnan.
Look, here we go. And so that would be my move.
How often were you guys actually in Central Connecticut? I saw you the one time.
Like three times.
Yeah. Thrice.
So you didn't gain enough of an impression of it.
People, I did not fall in love with Bristol. No.
No.
Now, I've also heard that some people have run into trouble there for accidentally stealing over the course of the years. And that's something that we could find ourselves in some hot water.
Mm-hmm. What, like office supplies?
Yeah, it was either like Mac Brown or Bill Polian.
Yeah.
I've heard both stories.
Snacks from the cat.
Snacks. Where the mini caps.
Yeah.
But listen, those guys are used to programs where literally everything's on the house. Like, I'm going to take that couch home to. Like, go ahead, it's fine.
Right.
You are running the program.
Right.
Yeah, Mac Brown could walk into any store in Texas and just take whatever he wanted off the shelf.
Right. So a bag of chips here. Like, is that really going to be an issue?
Exactly.
Like, Tomorrowland didn't do well. Is that on us now?
Right.
Clooney bombed also, we can't get snacks? That's not good.
I'm going to say 1% just in the event that they would make me like an executive there and I would just get to debate Stephen A. Smith. I would go back for that.
It's behind the scenes debate, for the love of the sport.
Yeah, just have him in my office all day yelling at him. Yeah.
But I'm sure people still ask. They ask me, oh, you worked at ESPN. What's Stephen A. Smith like? I think that's like when you're removed from it now, you realize that everything is Stephen A.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a star.
Like you could ask me any question. Like, you know, all the ESPN people I know, everyone's like, just Stephen A. stories. I just want him.
So give us your best Stephen A. story.
One time, I think it's, listen, I think he's a nice guy, but obviously he plays into the role of trolling and having fun. So I'm filling in on Mike and Mike, and I was smashing Concussion, the Will Smith movie, because I just said it was a terrible film. And
tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, thank you.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, and he tweeted, and he goes, and he tweets at me. I think he follows zero people. He probably like Jay Billis. He follows like one guy, maybe. And Stephen A. just goes, "Yo, Adnan, you're doing a great job filling in, but don't you ever come at my man Will Smith like that with that kind of disrespect."
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, I just got called out by Stephen A. Smith on Twitter. Retweet, like. Can I read this more? I want to retweet it once a week. Just like, hey, Stephen A. Smith called me out. Clown me.
Yes.
Take that, Virk.
He's I like great. That. He's going to get $10 million.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be worth every penny because he
works his ass off.
I talked to somebody that works over there, and they said a very interesting point, which is like Stephen A. and Max. Max thinks it's a debate show. Stephen A. knows it's an entertainment show.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Stephen A. gets it, and he can pretty much name his price right now.
Especially now, if I said to you guys, what are you watching? You spend what you listen to? Levitard's show is hysterical. Right? Because those guys get it. They know that it's fun, it's loose, and it's great. Mm-hmm. And as far as live events, like obviously, I watched Federer Djokovic. I was living and dying with Roger.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I can't believe you're
Djokovic is the GOAT.
No, you're brutal. I sent
Dude, how, does it, how I, much I, does it suck to root for a guy who keeps losing to Djokovic?
I couldn't believe you said to me Djokovic is your GOAT.
He is.
So Roger's the greatest of all time.
Okay, but then what happens when he plays Djokovic?
Listen, the guy's almost 38 years old.
How do we end that conversation so fast?
He's almost 38 years old, and he took him to a tiebreak, the first ever in the history of Wimbledon, five sets, and you're going to call him a loser? Like,
yeah.
That was a victory for mankind.
See, that's bullshit.
Absolutely like, was. That was
goat.
Inspiring.
He's the GOAT, but he's out there doing it.
Yeah, he's 38, and he almost won.
Two match points.
Straight a forehand, two championship
two
points,
match
and then
points.
The approach shot did not go deep enough, and Djokovic ripped
that's
across the winner.
Yikes. He's not even going to have the numbers.
20 majors. That's the number one all time.
Okay.
How many does Sampras
going to have?
Sampras is 14.
Yeah, Sampras, but his were more impressive. You can make the quality over quantity
no,
debate.
No one's saying that.
Yeah, so everyone says, Federer and Djokovic, they have to deal with like higher levels of competition.
Correct, Nadal. Yeah.
Disagree. Sampras was just that much better than everybody else that he was playing at the time.
What is tricky, in all seriousness, is Federer came up when those guys were fading, like Sampras, Agassi.
Correct.
Yeah, he
and
never
now,
had to face Sampras
so
in his
he
prime.
He was early in his career, and now he's late in his career facing these guys at the prime. So it is tricky. You can't line up Federer's career. It's not like Bird and Jordan. They're not the same time.
Yeah.
Bird and Magic.
Yeah, Bird was better.
Djokovic.
That's easy. That's an easy bad comparison, Adam.
Djokovic is going to end up with the most Grand Slams and will have a better record against Federer all time.
Even then,
and
he won't be
GOAT
the GOAT.
Is, yeah, he
Even
will.
He here's why. Rod Laver does not have the most majors all time. But if you ask tennis aficionados, they say Rod Laver is the greatest of all time.
Well, I don't give a fuck about tennis aficionados. And like, I don't even. I've been a tennis fan for one day, and I've already quit the sport. I'm not going to U.S. Open.
But
like, it's
like,
over.
But it's like saying Derek Jeter's better than Cal Ripken because he has this many World Series championships.
Yeah, fair. Uh-huh.
And no, it doesn't go that way.
That's a good,
you
yeah.
can't just
good point.
Well,
yeah,
if you want to go that one match, then Federer's still the best.
Yeah, but Djokovic will have more.
Cal Ripken never earned pinstripes.
What happens if he doesn't?
Okay,
can
if
I
he doesn't,
come back on the show?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
And I'll be like, I do not want to talk about tennis. Like, you can come back,
yeah,
and I'll
come
be like,
back,
no thanks.
We'll talk cereal. Can you make those cookies again?
Mm-hmm. All right, Adnan, thank you so much. Find him on DAZN, co-host of the GM Shuffle and Cinephile.
Yeah.
You can get them both on Apple?
Apple, Stitcher, all those places where podcasts are found.
Perfect.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming
I feel
in.
Like Priscilla put in a word for me to have me here.
No. We like you.
We said yes.
I don't care what everyone else says about you. We like you on this show.
Yeah,
I got two.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people say that you're kind of a fucked up guy. And
right, yeah.
Leak everything. But we're like, no, it's okay.
You guys knew my reputation at ESPN before I even met you.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
That interview was brought to you by Capterra. Do you guys remember 1989? That was the year the World Wide Web was invented. We've come a long way in 30 years. Shout out to Al Gore. So why does it feel like the software you use every day at work is stuck in the past? Well, you can take a leap into the future by finding the right software for your business on Capterra.com. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. With over 700,000 reviews of products from real software users, discover everything that you need. You can search 700 specific categories of software, everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. You name it, you can find everything that you need to make an informed decision on Capterra. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. Join the millions of people who use Capterra each month to find the right tools for their business. You can visit capterra.com/PMT for free today and find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. That's capterra.com/PMT, capterra.com PMT. The interview is also brought to you by the Part of My Take store. It's Christmas in July at the Part of My Take store.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tomorrow, Thursday, July 25th is Christmas in July. Enjoy up to 50% off your favorite Barstool Sports products. All PMT shirts, flags, and hats will be on sale at the lowest prices you will see all year. Stock up for the football season with our Football Guys Guy assortment. Go to store.barstoolsports.com. Shop these ridiculous deals. Hurry, the sale is one day only. Tomorrow, that's Thursday, is the one day only Christmas in July sale. Get your PMT merch while supplies last at store.barstoolsports.com.
Okay, let's get to some segments. Hank, first up, Bachelor Talk for guys that don't watch The Bachelor, but you watch The Bachelor.
Well, I was watching First Man, so I was kind of in and out of watching. Okay, it was
fair enough.
The Men Tell All episode. So I missed the beginning, but this is what happened. Luke P. showed up to the rose ceremony with an engagement ring, despite being sent by home by Hannah in the last episode. Psycho move. Things almost get...
That'll work, right? When you get broken up with, the best thing that you can do is just be like, hey, we're getting married, right?
Yeah.
Things almost get almost between Luke P. and other guys before Hannah
Wait,
sends him home again.
Get
that is what Trent sent me. It okay. says things almost get almost between Luke P. and the other guys before Hannah sends him home again. So I'm guessing this was hot because the second part that I saw, which was like the tell-all episode where it's all the cast come back together.
Mm-hmm.
It was Luke P. and then whatever, the other 20 guys. And the other 20 guys just went down in a line just roasting the absolute shit out of Luke P. Like, he just stood there.
And
Mike
just took it.
Mike called him a narcissistic, cantankerous misogynist. There was, and then it was just like the next guy, roast. Next guy,
it
roast.
It sounded like a chocolate milk ad right there. The
I like
you said that.
Yeah.
That's nice. So, yeah, it's like the in his brain, that's like when a woman, if she gets broken up with, then she like fakes a pregnancy or she like shows an ultrasound. Take me back, that sort of thing. In a dumb guy's brain, it's like, oh, you broke up with me? Well, we're actually engaged.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Let's just get married.
Can't
I love you
it.
So much.
And then finally, Hannah had to come out during the tell-all episode and address Bachelor Nation like she was like a president. And she was like, she had to apologize for not realizing how much of an asshole Luke P was and for keeping him around as long as she did. She had to be like, Bachelor Nation, like, I need to tell you this. Like, I'm
Bachelor
sorry.
Bachelor Nation, listen up.
Yeah.
She's sorry for giving him a platform.
Yeah.
Okay. So Hannah P. Are we...
Luke P.
Oh, no.
Luke
Hannah
P. Luke P.
Hannah
is canceled.
B?
Hannah B.
Hannah B. Luke P. Damn. I get those confused. So what are we down to?
Last three.
And who are they?
Pilot Pete.
Okay.
Jed.
Tennessee Jed.
Uh-huh.
I forget the third
guy. The guy with the sister.
The hot guy.
Yeah.
Tyler C.
The hot guy.
Okay. Tyler C. Which one of these was a quarterback at Wake Forest?
I don't know. Colton?
Okay.
That sounds right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about one of the contestants that was a quarterback at Wake Forest.
That sounds right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're...
I think there's two more episodes.
All right, and then we're done?
Yeah. Maybe one.
Interesting.
Okay, stay informed.
I feel like they will draw that out as long as possible.
Yeah, there's probably going to be two more.
It's always funny on Mondays when you just see all the tweets firing off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, this show's on again.
Yeah, it's very puzzling.
It's so lame that people watch that show. Like, be a real man and watch 3 hours of Monday Night Raw just so that Stone Cold can come out for the last 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. That's what
guys
do.
I don't know who I'm talking about. But, yeah, I did that last night. Watched literally every second just for Stone Cold.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, when the glass shatters, it's always worth it.
I could see John Cena pulling that move and just like, bringing a ring out. Be like, hey, we're engaged again.
Yes, hey, Nikki Bella, we're back. All right, King Stay Kings, Andy Reid. So Andy Reid, when asked what he did in the off season, what was his answer?
Well, they asked him if he did anything fun or exotic this off season, and his answer was, well, I attacked a couple Chile Rellenos. So that's classic Andy Reid, that little gourmand.
That also is great because it's Andy Reid, a fat guy move. Like, he definitely started eating them. Was like, these are delicious, and then ate them for every meal.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm just going to keep hammering. Hey, what do you think? What do you want for dinner tonight, honey? What about Chile Rellenos? I really liked it last night and for lunch.
It's such a perfect Andy Reid food, too, just the way that I can imagine him saying it. It's like kind of festive and a little bit kind of like wild.
He does a little dance, a little cha-cha-cha when he says it to his wife. Like, how about a little Chile Rellenos?
It's Chile Relleno Thursday tonight. Let's go, honey. Yeah, plugging, just eating all the cheese to stop the run.
Explain it to Hank. What is a Chile Rellenos?
It is a deep-fried poblano pepper that's filled with meats and cheeses, and sometimes you get wacky with it. It's like some pumpkin seeds
and some sauce around it.
Sauce on the outside. You put a little creme fraiche on the outside. Just a real treat of a pepper.
But you're eating vegetables.
Yep.
Deep fried.
Deep fried stuffed with meat.
Yeah, but it's still vegetables.
It's like Mexican haggis.
Yeah. It's like when you get, what is it, the tempura, like string beans? It's mm-hmm. just deep fried vegetables.
Yep.
Love it.
Best way to do it.
All right. Thoughts and prayers to USA basketball. So no one wants to play for USA basketball.
Yeah, everyone keeps bowing out. So they're
except all the good players.
Their roster is down to like who's on it? Hank, Kevin Love,
Marcus Smart, Smart. Jalen Brown,
Harrison, all Jason
Tatum.
It's all Celtics. They just made it all fine. Celtics.
Julius Randle.
So now Bill Simmons is going to be the U.S. number one basketball fan.
I have a question. Why isn't Melo?
Is U.S. basketball having a moment right now? Yeah, Melo should be on it.
Why?
For sure.
Why not Melo? You need an old head, right? He should be the guy. I want Melo to keep playing for USA basketball forever.
Maybe all these players are leaving because they're afraid that they might miss a call from one of us after what happened to Blake last year.
Yes.
It's like they don't want to make the same mistake.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
Uh-huh.
If they get caught up in some weird award that we made up.
Did Blake Griffin kill USA basketball? People are asking.
Wow.
They're starting to ask
it. It's a question. It's a question.
Maybe they just don't want to be invited to the White House if they win.
It's a question. All right. Last up, before we get to Guys on Chicks, PMT Sports Biz with Jake Marsh, who's been killing it for us this summer. Let's kick it to that.
Good morning. This is Jake Marsh with the PMT Sports Biz Minute. The 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo are exactly 1 year away, and the official emblem is a harmonized checkered pattern. It features the traditional Japanese color of indigo blue, which expresses a refined elegance and sophistication that exemplifies Japan. If you were to dissect what the PMT logo represents, you've got a mix of loyalty blue, simplicity is beige, perfection for white, green is harmony, red equals love, and black, the color of mystery. Couldn't have said it better myself. Aaron Boone's rant last week got me thinking. Why the heck do baseball managers wear full uniforms? Well, in the 19th century, there was something called a captain who determined the batting order, made pitching changes, and more. Basically what we call a player coach today. Imagine if other sports did this. Give me Coach O and a helmet and full pads, parlayed with Greg Popovich and a tank, and that's your PMT Sports Biz Minute, Mr. Cat, Mr. Commenter. Back to you.
Wow, that was informative.
Great job. Very cool, Jake.
Thanks. PMT Sports Biz Minute with Jake Marsh. Jake's been doing a great job this summer, for real.
Mr. Cat, Mr. Commenter.
That's not your content. I've been... I don't want to talk about Darren
Fell. Nope. Bleep out that name, as a matter of fact.
Okay, can I talk about it real quick?
We don't say his name.
The Cubs have a player named Robel Garcia, and every time I go to type Robel, I think of Ravel, and it fucking bothers
Does
me.
Does it autocorrect on your phone?
Yeah, and it bothers
that
me.
That sucks.
It bothers
once,
me.
Once AI services have figured out that I type in that name, that at that point, that's when I'm opting out. I'm on Fitzgerald's side on this.
It fucking sucks.
No phones.
It sucks. All right, Guys on Chicks, Hank.
All right, Jake sent me these, so this is a raw run-through.
Oh!
Okay, raw
you go
dog.
Raw dog raw this dog bad boy?
See how good he's been doing.
Let's see, Jake.
Skin hey, to skin.
Hey, boys, especially Hank. I got a spray tan
this
past
Jake
week.
Oh, yeah, Jake sent you these.
Uh-huh.
Where you? I swear to God, I got a spray tan this week where you stand naked and a rando tanning salon worker sprays your body with tanning magic. My boyfriend was weirded out that I was naked in front of a stranger. My response was, "It's less weird than being naked in front of my friends." So, can you help my boyfriend settle this argument once and for all? Is it weirder to get a spray tan from a stranger or to shower with your friends, i.e., post sports practice?
I think it's weirder.
What does i.e. mean?
Yeah, that's like an example. Like, for example,
an example.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be an example?
I don't know what it stands for.
In exemplar.
Such as.
Yeah.
Is what it means.
Women, in general,
I feel like
are a lot more comfortable being naked.
Well, here's the deal. There's not as much of a variance on women's bodies as there is on guys. So, like,
what?
Well, huh? No. Here's what I'm getting at. It's easier to look at for a woman to look at another woman with her clothes on and be able to tell within a reasonable like distance what she might look like naked in terms of all the size of the different body parts. With a guy, if you look at a guy, you can't really imagine. Like, sure, some guys like me have big dick energy. And so they could be like, oh, yeah, I bet that guy's walking around with a tuna can between his legs. But when it comes to, like, women, you can get a pretty good example. Like, I'm looking at you right now, Big Cat.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good example of what those tits look like when you pop that top off.
Yeah.
Right?
No, actually, that's not true. If you didn't know, you wouldn't know that I have huge nipples.
That's true. Well, nipples are a little bit different.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's nipples the, that's kind of the point.
Nipples are the balls of the chest.
They're very different. Every single nipple's made differently.
I think it's very healthy for a woman to get a spray tan from a stranger.
They're just a lot more.
The question is it weirder for naked in front of a stranger or naked in front of your friends?
I think it's weirder for I think women just in general are more comfortable being naked. Mm-hmm. Like they do it in front of their friends more often.
Mm-hmm. At sleepovers,
dudes are a little bit more shy.
The only time guys are really comfortable being naked around other guys is when they're making
fucking each other,
making jokes about themselves,
yeah,
like busting balls. It's the straightest thing in the world to look at another naked dude and then make fun of him.
Yeah, or doing the old like when you're like, I got gum on my jeans, and it's actually your ball.
Mm-hmm.
That joke is not appropriate anymore.
Hey, boys, especially you, functional drug addict PFT.
I'm just going to ride with it.
You got to, dude. You made me ride with anti-vaxxing. Yep. You can't be upset about it.
We both, I put a lot more needles in my arms than your son gets.
Yeah, see?
My boyfriend and I have been together for 2 years, and he's a huge Steelers fan. I love him, but there's a huge problem. He refuses to have sex with me unless I wear a Troy Polamalu jersey and a giant afro wig.
This is not this real.
He only wants to do doggy style.
All right,
and
go to the next one.
Come on, Jake.
Come on, Jake. That's fake.
Come on, Jake.
Jake's fakes.
I mean, no, that was a real chick because she said, what's up to PFT.
Yeah,
so
that's Jake's fakes.
Hey, Big Cat, PFT, and Jake. I bet you're all wondering why I didn't acknowledge Hank. That's where my relationship issues start. My boyfriend and I are avid fans of PMT. We listen to every episode, but for some reason, he is intimidated by sweet young Hank. Crazy, right? If I laugh at something Hank says during an episode, it's treated like I just cheated on him in front of his face.
Oh. I believe this.
I can never agree with Hank's Mount Rushmores, so it's basically a debate between PFT and Big Cat, which is the equivalent to comparing shit to throw up because they're both equally awful. How do I get my boyfriend to get over his jealousy for Hank? It's made our relationship very stressful and has almost ruined the podcast for me, which is awful because I consider myself an AWL. Thanks very much.
I believe
advice would be greatly appreciated for my relationship and more importantly for my love for PMT.
So how do you get over being jealous of young Hank Lockwood? I think Hank has to shave. I think that's really the only way.
Or we can help your relationship by reminding everyone that Hank can't get hard.
That's not true.
That's true.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. PFT's not a drug guy. You can get hard.
We all have to tell one lie about everybody else on the podcast that you just
see
have
how
to
it goes
with.
Around.
I guess, whatever. That's
Hank. Here's the solution. Hank, just stop being so charming all the time on the show.
You're
a very charming person, and honestly, like I get a little bit jealous of you sometimes too.
I 100% believe this because you know PFT and I are a little older and funnier than Hank, and so when Hank says something, and she's probably right around Hank's age, so he's the attainable one. Where we're like way out of her league.
Yeah,
we're fucking stars.
Yeah, she might as well wish to go fly to the moon,
right,
to get with one of us. But when it's Hank, it's like, oh yeah, that's just my harmless.
It'd be like saying like you don't care about Vinny Chase because he's unattainable. You're like, oh, I really have the hots for Turtle.
Yeah, Hank.
Or E.
Jill laughed at that one. You watch Entourage, Jill? Yes, she does. Okay.
Hank, say something non-threatening. Say something to kind of bring yourself down a peg real quick. Just help this person's
read a chocolate milk ad.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't think I'm very impressive on this show, so.
Hank, it's
nice to know that someone thinks so.
I want you to tell this listener that you're not going to sleep with his girlfriend.
I'm not
going
to sleep with your girlfriend.
There you
go. Promise.
That should be enough.
Yeah.
Because he can't.
Sup, Dave and Buster's guys. My friend and I were debating the other day, what's the difference between a side bitch and a side piece?
Whoa.
Is there one, Jake?
That's offensive language.
That's very offensive.
Side piece. We don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Set me up, Jake.
Setting him up. Bad questions. Go to the last one.
Sup, fellas.
I honestly think that's a terrible question, Jake. I'll tell you what it is. I think a side bitch
it's
is
the same thing.
What about my side hoe?
A side bitch is something.
What about a slam piece?
that you make up if you don't actually have a side piece.
Yeah, what about my fuck buddy?
You're like, oh, I got a side bitch. No, that person doesn't exist if you're calling her a side bitch.
Yo, I don't even like this chick.
Yeah, fuck her.
I just fuck her every weekend and go to the brunch with her. But I don't like her. No. Yeah, her mom's cool.
Oh, man.
And her dad is like my best friend.
This totally real slam, ho keeps texting
me. She's never going to be my girlfriend.
Sup? Oh, what's up, Dad Cat, PFT, and Fisherman of the Year, Hank?
Oh!
I'm a waitress. See, that's how you know, because I usually try and filter them out, because I know when I say myself, you guys are like, that's not true. I'm a waitress at a well-known restaurant and have recently slept with a guy who is a regular. Turns out he has slept with a lot of waitresses. Should we confront him,
Tiger Woods,
refuse him service, or just decline his advances? P.S. It's not Dave and Buster's.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's Perkins and it's Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's a very specific type of game that you have to be able to pick up a waitress, too.
And it's
never had that because it's like a very narrow time frame that you have to, like, initiate the pickup line, then follow up on it.
Well, it's
and
also
all
just,
that stuff.
Like, there's a it's certain a weird sleaze factor because if you are routinely picking up people at restaurants, that means you probably fucked in your Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
An awesome car.
Yeah.
I'll go one step.
A very average
yeah,
car.
Yeah, because you can afford to eat out at restaurants all the time, so you have a great car. But
go to Applebee's with your Toyota Camry
I'm
and you
take
watch
it,
Andy Dalton.
I'm going to take it one step further. Anybody that routinely picks up on anyone like at work.
Just dying.
If you're picking up women at their place of business on a consistent basis, that's just kind of a weird move, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing is
kind of a legend, though.
Kind of
a total ledge.
I mean, in some
absolute
sort of,
ledge.
To your friends who call women slim pieces and slam bitches, you are definitely a ledge.
Mm-hmm.
Big time ledge. My slam piece over at Outback. Yeah, she hit me up. I probably won't fuck her tonight. Jill's laughing. Okay, we'll see everyone Friday.
Love you guys.
Talking away. No, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me. Safe and sorry.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.